The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and I'm glad to have the pleasure of your company right here in the Côte d'Azur. We're in southern France right now, getting ready for the Monaco Water Ski Cup. I know it sounds a little bit strange that we're outside Monaco, but it is what it is. It's the site is in Roquebrune-Serrajon. We look forward to some great skiing from a number of great competitors, and the guy that I'm interviewing is one of those great competitors. He comes to us from Morocco, and we're going to be talking to him about the recently held event in Rabat, as well as previewing this one. His name is Camille Bamra. So how are you doing, sir?
Hello, everyone, and hi, Tony. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Happy to be in Monaco.
As you can see, it does get a little bit windy around these parts. That's because of the ever-present Mistral that comes off the Mediterranean Sea and blows it through the trees. You're also hearing some people take us a practice set, and one of those was actually Camille. So how did it go so far?
It went pretty well. I'm pretty satisfied of my set, considering traveling so much and a very exhausting week in Morocco. I'm happy to turn the page and finally get to only focus on my skiing and not so much organizing.
All right, then. You've landed very, 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 very neatly into the next piece of the interview that I wanted to go through. You just have this clever knack of being able to kind of guide the conversation along. So with that, the organization of the Royal Nautique Pro over in Rabat, the second time it's been in Rabat. Hopefully I pronounced that right. You know, it's French, a little bit of...
It was pronounced perfectly, Rabat.
Rabat, okay. All right then, so organization of this competition. I mean, it's an uphill task to organize any kind of competition, much less a competition over in Morocco that doesn't see too much in terms of water skiing so far as tournaments are concerned. So what were the major challenges going forward, and you know, bearing in mind that you were looking to try and improve upon last year's effort, how did that shape up this time around?
Well, Tony, I have a lot of things I could talk about. I could talk about how organizing such an event is complicated, just so for the permits or for finding the funds and the sponsoring, everything. But I'll tell you one of the real big challenge we were facing every year. The biggest challenge, I would say, would be finding a good hotel for everybody. We need to find a place for everyone to stay nearby the lake that's charming and welcoming. That would be the challenge number one. Then obviously the found is also a very complicated topic, but that's a little easier to get, I guess.
Okay, so the hotel concerned was the Fairmont Hotel. Now those of you that stay in some of the more luxurious places around the world, including somewhere like Monaco, will know of the Fairmont Hotel. The Fairmont Hotel there is actually situated right next to the Marabout hairpin in the Monaco Grand Prix, and that should give you an idea of how well esteemed this place is in Rabat in Morocco. So what did this place have that the others didn't?
Well, the Fairmont Hotel is a beautiful place. The staff is very nice. They also offered to help a lot by giving us good prices as sponsoring, but mostly it's a matter of, I would say, convenience. It's very complicated to find a place that's convenient for the skiers. Of course, we want to offer them the best experience, and we want to have them in the best places for them to perform at their peak. But the Fairmont, let's say, was the best compromise between close to the club and at the same time great welcome.
All right then. So very welcoming atmosphere at the Fairmont, you know. But the tournament itself is held on the river, the Beauregard River, right outside the Raw Nautique Club. Now, as I mentioned many, many times during the event while I was announcing, it was held under the high patronage of His Majesty King Mohammed the Sixth. How important was it to get his blessing for this competition going forwards?
Well, Morocco being a kingdom, the high patronage works as an insurance. Basically, it means that the event is seen and approved by His Majesty King Mohammed VI. It's more than an honor, and it's a very, very prestigious stamp to add to your event. It's just like, to be honest, I have no words to express how happy I am and like how honored. It's a real deal.
And you didn't ski too badly yourself. I mean, you went out there and sliced it and diced it. Didn't make it through to the final, unfortunately, but you were very close to it.
I tried my best. To be honest, I skied great. I skied good enough for the amount of stress I had. I had to take drastic measures. I didn't use my phone for the entire 2 or 3 days before the tournament.
What?
Yeah, it was too stressful. You know, just stuff that I shouldn't be worried about when I'm skiing. Like, hey, I'm at the door. Can you come get me? Hey, where's the bathroom? Hey, where's whatever? Not even talking about the work.
Yeah, because you're their main point of contact stateside, and Hisham, your father was the guy that was taking all of that stress off you on his shoulders to try and get the tournament flowing, as it were.
Until I skied, and then we shared it after I finished skiing. Of course, it would be unfair to leave him do everything and just stand there watching. But I'm pretty happy with my score. Overall, I wanted to do a correct and fair performance, and I feel like I did.
Correct and fair performance. That sounded to be like the general theme for this tournament. I mean, you have to admit there were a few problems so far as the course and how it was laid out last year and what have you. But all of those challenges seem to have been succumbed, you know, with the tournament this year and how they set up the course and the timing as well was very, very critical.
Well, absolutely. The more you go through the weekend, the more false the slalom is, which is normal due to the current, due to the wind, due to the low and high tide, and there is absolutely nothing we can do about it. It's the same conditions for everyone, so I guess it's somehow fair. But what really matters is the decision of choosing when everyone is going to start skiing. For example, at the final on the last day, it was crucial to have a decision that made everyone somehow happy and to make it fair for all the skiers. But I feel like the chief judge, which is the only person who is allowed to make this decision, did a great job at it.
Indeed, you know, that there was a significant amount of time between the end of the tricks event and the start of the slalom, and people were wondering, what was there ever going to be an event run with the slalom in, and the decision was made to actually swap the men's with the women's.
Exactly, making the men start first was, in my opinion, the best decision that was made. You know, they said, hey, we want to start, we don't want to go in the most difficult conditions after low tide, and the chief judge just said, okay, well, you can go now. And in my opinion, it was fair because ladies start every time. They start for first and second round. It was great to make men go first.
And how is the tournament's relationship with its sponsors? You know, I mean, I see a number of sponsors that were there last year that are recommitted this year. You know, and a few others, and I met up with one or two folks that were representing those sponsors. You know, so I mean, it was incredibly important to have them involved. You know, but what were their takeaways from this tournament? What was their feedback?
Well, they're happy. They feel like they made a great great investment. We have the trust of our sponsors because we don't steal, we don't lie, we don't do anything to our advantage that could potentially hurt our sponsor's image or anything. And most likely, we have standards that we keep up to. You can't just come and like give it whatever amount of something, of sponsoring. There needs to be rules, and there needs to be a structure that we follow to the letter.
So did they understand a lot of what was going on? You know, I mean, this sport for anyone that's coming in, you know, from the outside is a difficult one to pick up and to fully comprehend right from the get-go. So how did they feel? Obviously they were highly appreciative of what Jake Abelson did with the world record. I mean, I was winding back to the broadcast as I typically do, you know, and they were cheering and they were appreciating.
Absolutely. On a more personal note, we do a big job into explaining and talking to the sponsors. That's part of our responsibility. When we're on the site during the tournament or during one of the parties, we must take a lot of our time talking to the sponsors, building the relationship with them, explaining them what's the sport. Because unfortunately, as you all know, it's not a very common sport, it's not a very known sport, but we do a pretty good job at it. It's just, I feel like, one of the hidden parts that people don't see. They think you just get the money and organize, and that's pretty much it. But there's so many factors you need to take in mind as well.
Okay, you talked briefly about the parties. I mean, not normally a lot of tournaments out there, you know, just have one party and that's about it. But you had three. I mean, you had the one on Friday night, the one on Saturday night, and then the final night on Sunday at the Fairmont. You know, and they were all well attended. You know, so I mean it's. It's an often overlooked aspect to the whole organization of the tournament, but y'all seem to have, just brought it home with those three.
I'll say that the tournament is more of an excuse to organize the parties. Of course, it's the most important part. If there is no tournament, there is nothing else. So we do we obviously work a lot on this aspect. But the parties is a pretty good excuse to put out a show, you know. We want to impress people and we want to impress ourselves more than anything else. Prove to each other and prove to the world that we're capable of organizing such a thing. So I guess there is not one more important than the other, but the tournament must go well. This is the number one.
Indeed, and it did go well, and it went well for a number of different skiers. I mentioned just previously Jake Abelson with his pending world record. You know, how did that feel for you and Isham and those that have put a lot of their reputation and their backing into this tournament to see that. Yes, Morocco is capable of producing a world record score and a world record performance.
It was great. It was fantastic to see. It was very impressive. We're happy to see and know that the river is indeed skiable, even for a world record. And to be honest, it just keeps us into our idea that the river is skiable. You know, you just need to adapt to it. There is no big deal. But I would like to come back to the parties for 1 second.
Okay. Because
I just wish I could explain in the right words how much work and the intensity of those parties. To all the people that weren't there, how could we explain them the intensity of it?
Well, I mean, first of all, you would probably go to the numerous Instagram posts and TikToks that were actually published during the course of the event. I mean, you can do a search for Raw Nautique Pros Instagram, and you'll be able to see just to get a albeit brief glimpse of what it was to actually be there and to be involved with that, you know. So I mean, it's, and one question I wanted to ask you, I didn't get the identity of the hip-hop guy. I mean, he was singing in French, so obviously I didn't pick up a lot of what it, but I mean, you accompanied him on stage, you know. So I mean, that was part of the whole festive approach to this event. So tell us a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah, that was a little bit of me taking advantage of my organizer privileges. But yes, his name is Maître Gims, and he is the number one rapper and artist in France, and to be honest, I think almost in Europe. He is the proof of the difference between the number one and the rest. The guy is a machine. He had four shows that same night we saw him at the Royal Antique Pro.
What?
And was in Tokyo literally 3 hours before the show.
Oh my word.
Yes, he's a very committed person. People even suspect him to have made a deal with Satan. I don't know if that's true. I don't think so. But overall, he was a fantastic guy. Very nice, very respectful, very humble. Nothing to say bad about him.
Indeed, indeed. And that was certainly one of the highlights of the whole party sequence with the event. Now, obviously, now the clock starts ticking between now and next year's event, which I sincerely hope that you'll be able to pull off. You know, so I mean, do you already have some thoughts in your mind as to how to execute the event and what to put on? You know, because I mean, this event aside from the hip hop artist that you mentioned, we had a Latin American band, you know, we had DJs and everything, you know, so I mean, you're thinking about that. So do you have any thoughts on what you can do to improve upon this event for next year?
I mean, I feel like all our ideas were good, whether we go from the artists like Maître Gims or the Gypsy Kings with their famous song Bamboleo.
Oh yeah.
Or the drone show that was also amazing. We've had actually a couple people being very happy and thankful for this drone show, most likely Neely Ross that I'm mentioning, because yeah, she was our model for one of the pieces of the drone show. And the Moroccan night, which in my opinion was a clear success with the red carpets on the floor and the snake dancers, is that how you call it?
Snake charmers.
Yeah, the snake charmers, the henna, everything was fantastic. I feel like the food was great. The drinks were fantastic as well. There was even Joe and the Juice. I don't think we mentioned it.
Yeah, yeah. They brought a vibe that was just super.
Their energy was peak. It was amazing. And I think for next year, we're just going to try to improve everything. It's very hard when you have such an event and such a momentum to like try and change everything. Every decision you will make is going to be crucial for the vibe of the event. And for next year, we're just going to try to make everything bigger and better. Better artists, better stands for Joe and the Jews, better conditions for the tournament. Obviously, we're going to try to do a better hotel. We're going to try to get a better hotel. Yeah, there is the...
What?
I don't know if you've heard of the Royal Mansour. It's one of the best hotels in the world. It was best hotel in the world in Marrakesh 2020, 2021, and 2022. And it's opening its doors right in front of the river.
Oh, it was that construction site that's right behind the Grand Theatre of Rabat, yeah?
Exactly. It's between the theatre and the big tower of Mohammed VI. And
yes.
It's in construction. So we're going to do everything we can to stay there. However, if we do, this is a game changer. It's gonna be really, really nice.
Indeed, indeed. We certainly look forward to that. Now let's look forward to this tournament. I mean, you've just gone off the water. You've been practicing, but obviously practicing's been a little bit difficult considering you just arrived from Morocco like about a day or so ago. So how is it going so far?
Great. Honestly, I focus on being on top of my ski. Calm, stable, and do not move too much with my shoulders. Without getting in details, I just try my best to ski correctly. There is no much to do, like let your body adapt however it can and focus on the important points you consider.
Do you have any set goals of a position or a performance that you want to achieve here at the site here in Roquebrune Serre Argent?
Well, I was 10th in Morocco. I feel like it's fair. So my goal for this tournament is going to be anything better than that.
Indeed, indeed. And we certainly wish you the very best of luck as we kind of put a nice, neat little bow to the Royal Nautique Pro in Rabat in Morocco. And try and look forward to see what you're going to produce for us here. Is there anything you'd want to say in closing, and maybe a shout out to any any on all of your friends, I would say?
Well, obviously, a huge shout out to my dad, my mom, my friends, my family, everyone who supported us in this journey that was Morocco, all the sponsors, all the people that came, all the staff from DWBC, all the skiers, and obviously you, Tony. Thank you for doing the speaking. Thank you for making us look the best we can, for idealizing our project, and for bringing your energy and your good vibes to our home, that's Morocco.
Indeed, indeed, and I'm so already looking forward to the next event next season. So, and that brings to a conclusion this edition of the TWBC podcast. We'll try and have some more episodes coming through within about the next few days and weeks as we continue our long hot summer in Europe and beyond. But until next time, this is Tony Lightfoot saying ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.